Welcome to Eretz Pod, the official podcast of Yeshivat Eretz HaTzvi. We offer timely reflections on the weekly Torah portion and other timeless Torah insights. Support for Eretz Pod comes from listeners like you. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
In Shvi of Parshas Pinchas, we have the description, the detailing of the karbanot that are brought every day on the 7 days of Sukkot. Sukkot is a mikra kodesh, yelachem, kom lechet avodah lo tasu. When we get to, and all these karbanot are the decreasing in the number of parim that are brought each day, one by one. And everything is spelled out. Each day is spelled out again and again and again with the decrease. When we get at the end of this listing, we find something strange. Uvayom, bayom, not uvayom, and that's significant. Bayom hashmini atzeret tielachem. On the eighth day, there is something called atzeret. It shall be an atzeret for you. And there the karbanot change. Karbanot no longer have a multitude of parim, but the eighth day is called atzeret tielachem. Now, in the Torah, the term atzeret, not the verb atzar, which occurs a number of times and means something to stop. The magefa stopped, for example. The term atzeret, when applied to a yom tov, appears twice in reference to shmini atzeret, what we call shmini atzeret, which is what we call the eighth day of Sukkot, although it is a chag by itself, shmini chag atzeret hazeh. And we find it once in connection with the seventh day of Pesach, which is also one time in the Torah called Atzeret. The question is, what does it mean? What is that, the name of a chag, to stop? Rashi has three explanations, or two and a half explanations, for this. Rashi says, Atzeret tielachem, atzurim basiat malacha. You have to stop. You are withheld. You are told not to do malacha, not to do work. Atzor hagvul lefanecha. You see signs in Israel, stop. The border is before you. Or you want to ring the bell on the bus to get off, you ring a bell that says, Atzor, indicating to the driver that he should stop. So what are we stopped from here? We are stopped from doing work. Okay? These terms apply only once, as I said, in connection with Pesach, and once and twice the term is applied when in talking the Torah, talking about Sukkot. It never appears in the Torah in reference to Shavuot. Atzor, from doing malacha. That's a simple pshat. Pshuto shel mikra. There is a wonderful pshat on the whole idea of mikra kodesh and atzeret in the Ktav in Kabbalah of Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, wonderful sefer on this in Bamidbar. He says, according to all commentaries, we have to understand why the last day is specifically called Atzeret. So what he says is that the whole point of a Mikra Kodesh is to remove a person's consciousness to some degree from the pursuit of the worldly strivings that we have we need this, and we then our connection with things, and things become ends in themselves, and to understand that all the striving for things is only for those kind of things that are necessary for us to be able to exist, so that we can strive, we can yearn, we can successfully concentrate on the really important things. And those really important things are things of Kedusha, that we could be concerned not with the temporal, but with the eternal. That's the whole idea of Kedusha. If you want, and I'm going off digression now, it's a difference between Cain and Hevel. They both brought karbonot, but Cain was unable to bring the best. In other words, he withheld the best for himself. Cain, Hevel, on the other hand, as Chazal, as Rashi points out, he gave the best. Cain was a man who wanted, whose life was one of kinyan, liknot. That's that he was named. The meaning of life is to acquire things. Hevel was a person who understood that all of that is hevel, hevel havalim. It's insubstantial. And the only substantiality in the world is my relationship with Ribbono Shelam, my ascent from the raw earth towards the heavens, if you will. So what Kedusha is, what Mikroi Kodesh are to call me to that. And then, that digression back to the Tava Kabbalah, he says, this calling to Kedusha, okay, and not getting caught up with all that which is really unnecessary, with all the luxuries, with all the temporal acquisitions, okay, that will be able, I'll be able to take that into myself through the Moed, through the Mikrai Kodesh, and take it with me into the everyday, weekday, humdrum existence of the world, which is so busy taking, getting, holding on to, and so on and so forth. And so the Ksav Kabbalah writes that when we return, when man returns, if this becomes part of my attitude to the world through the Mikra Kodesh, then the word atzar means to stop. It means also to withhold. I will be able to hold this in. I will be able to hold on. I will be able to stop it dissipating as a result of the influence of the everyday on me, that we won't leave this orientation behind, such that all our actions will only be for this exalted end, such that in all our involvements, this worldly involvements are necessary for the body to be able to direct itself to the ultimate shleimut, to the ultimate importance of life, to the service of God, that this awareness, this inspiration of the Chag should inspire me to this view. But the problem is, will it stay with me? Will it stay with me? Okay? When the Moed is over. But rather, so we're told, all this inspiration, hold on to it with all the power. Take another day, we're told. Atzeret tielachem. Don't rush back in. Hold back and internalize all of this. And he says, he finishes his commentary, thus yikare yom haharon shel Pesach v'sukot b'shem atzeret. That's why the last day of Pesach and Sukkot is called atzeret. And he has a German term, anhaltsfast, too, which practically speaking in this, hold it tight, Keep it within yourself. Don't let this dissipate. Don't let this disappear. Don't let this be merely a memory, but let it be part of you. Like you have the expression about certain Jews, for example, about the Sfas Emes was known as a Shabbos Dikiyid. He had this bearing of Shabbos throughout the week. And we are really saying that when we daven every day and we say, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. It's all we think about Shabbos. It's a Shabbos that's past. It's a Shabbos that's coming. If you study the Mizmorim of the day, of every day of that we have after at the end of davening, you'll see that each one relates to either the Shabbos that is past, the first 3 days, or the next 3 days from Yom Revi on, are the Shabbos that is coming. And then, of course, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat, but that's a whole other discussion. And so, the Rashi on the Midrash, the Rashi, when Rashi says, don't do work, and it's a technical thing, it's not just that. It's beyond that. It means Rashi has two other explanations. One is that we have to stay further. We can't leave after 7 days. We are chayiv and lina. That is to be in Yerushalayim, to stay with it longer. And the third explanation, which Rashi introduces in the Midrash Agadah, lefisha kol yomot haregel hikrivu keneged shivim mumot, ukshaboyim lulechet omolem hamakom bevakasha mikem asid leiv sudat tanak deshen emikem. The karbanot of the day, of the days, are connected with the nations of the world. And God says on the last day, make for me. Consider me. It's only about me. Make for me. I don't want you to leave. I say, make for me a sudak tana. It's not so many karbonot, a sudak tana. But God wants to be with us. He wants us to keep him, as it were, with us. The asuli mishkan, take a mishkan, like in the mishkan in the desert, that can go, as the Medrash has it, that God wants to stay with us. It's the parents' small apartment that goes along with the Jewish people, such as the Medrash has it. Let me sketch a nightmare scenario for you. It's a nightmare, it couldn't happen. But let us imagine a synagogue somewhere in the world, as many of us know it. And there's a Sudashli sheet that they make, and it says on the calendar that Shabbos should go out, Shabbos is over at, let's say, 7:53, right? And for some reason, the rabbi is singing Mizmor LeDavid, and he's singing Mizmor LeDavid again. There's a minute to sing Mizmor LeDavid. And Shabbos over at 7:53, and it's already 7:52, and he's still singing Mizmor LeDavid. Shabbos is over. Shabbos is going out. When I was a kid, that's a nightmare scenario for what will happen to the rabbi. Nebuch. When I was a kid in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in the early 1950s, there's an old shul, and that's where we went for Shalosh Shuddos. And it was dark, the lights were out, there were no lights, and they were singing Mizmor LeDavid, and they were singing Mizmor LeDavid, and it went on and on. And I still remember a niggun. It wasn't Mizmor LeDavid, but I remember a niggun. It took me many, I have a long story about it, but that's not the point of this right now. But it turns out that this is a niggun of the Balatanya, the Alter Rebbe. And I remember the niggun. I was 5, 6 years old, but I remembered it. Six-year-olds usually don't remember niggunim like this. Na 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 It's a niggun of the Balatanya for Bnei Chala, the Ksifin, the Maksei, right? And they sang it. And they sang it, and they sang it, and they sang it. And some of you will be familiar, and if not, find it on YouTube. Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's in Yiddish, but there are English subtitles, and you'll understand it with English subtitles, and you'll hear the pathos and the power, even in the Yiddish, even if you don't understand the words. Yotzim min alev, nichnasim alev. Words that go out of the heart, go into the heart. And the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, is describing as a young boy in his teenage years in Warsaw, going to the Majtzer Shtibel on Shalosh Shudas and listening to them sing Mizmor LeDavid, and how these Jews couldn't let Shabbos go out. How can they sing it once and twice and again, Hashem Roi Lo Yachzor, God is my shepherd, going out into the world, into the difficult world, into a world that will eventually, several decades later, consume them and destroy them and kill them. But Hashem Roi Lo Echsor, as long as God is with me. So this is what we mean. The Atzeres, Rav Hudner used to say, Min Zol Nitzogin, you're part of my Yiddish, because I don't really know Yiddish, Min Zol Nitzogin, Matur Nitzogin, you shouldn't say, HaShabbos Geit Arosh, because Shabbos is going out. Min Zol Zogin, you should say, HaShabbos Geit Arayin, the Shabbos goes in. Shabbos is going in. We say if Shabbos is coming in, we usually talk about lichtbenching, the time for Hadlakat Neirot, lighting the candles Friday night. No, you should say it when Shabbos on the calendar goes out, that it's going into you, that you will take Shabbos with you, that somehow it transforms your attitude all the time throughout the week, from Shabbos to Shabbos. In yeshivas, they sing on Purim. Against your Purim. Purim all day long, every day, Purim. Okay. But really, what Jews are singing the world is Shabbos. Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, the Shabbos should infuse every day, a ganz yor Shabbos should infuse every day. But wait a second. Let us end with a question and then a reference to an answer. So that's true of Pesach. Is that Tzeret? Yeah, Yom HaShiach Tzeret, the Torah says. Sukkot, the end, when it's ending, Yom HaShmini, Atzeret, Chag Atzeret. But what about Shavuos? Shavuos doesn't say, the Torah doesn't call it Atzeret. This question, but Shavuos is called Atzeret. If you, the Lashon Chachamim in the Chazal call Shavuos Atzeret. And this question was a question raised to Reb Levi Yitzchak of Baditchev. He says, Nishalti, I was asked, the Medinas Litta, when he was in Litta, he was the Rav of Pinsk before they drove him out of Pinsk and he became the Rav of Berdichev. Why is it that Chazal call Shavuos Atzeret? In the Torah, it's only called Shavuos. And he says, gives three answers. I have various in Divrei David, which is available on Drive. I have a number of recordings of teaching this Kedushas Levi. I just would like to mention the third answer. He says, I gave them a third answer. And the third answer is based on Ramban. The Ramban says, when you have this feeling, tremendous feeling of inspiration, and you want to get towards the inspiration, right? So you right away, the inspiration should not really remain on the level of, wow, that was inspiring, but do something which embodies, which concretizes that inspiration. So he says, when I'm, this based on a Ramban, He says, when Am Yisrael on Shavuos, the first Shavuos, on Matan Torah, when they heard the voice of God, when they experienced what they experienced, they wanted to rush, they wanted to do something. They wanted to do something, but there were no mitzvos yet. The mitzvos hadn't been given. It's only the Ma'amad Har Sinai, the experience that they were feeling. So what could they do? But there was one mitzvah connected with Sinai. Before the Aseret HaDibrot, there is one mitzvah, and that one mitzvah is that they were that there was a fence built around the mountain. Atzor Hagvul Lefanecha. Stop. There's a border. You can't rush up on the mountain. You have to stop. And that too is a concretization. And that's why Shavuos we mark the Atzeret, because we resolve through what we learn from Torah to concretize inspiration. This is actually this idea is the same idea that Rabbeinu Yonah has on the Mishnah of Imena Nili Mili. If I'm not for myself, who is before me? And the Rabbeinu Yonah and his commentary on Avos says that inspiration that others give is ephemeral and fleeting. I have to do something. I have to inspire myself. I have to know that I have to continue it. I can't merely passively say, wow, that was inspiring. And so, again, to the notion of concretization, the notion of holding on to something, the notion of taking something from the Chag and bringing the Chag, bringing Shabbos, bringing the inspiration into the next day and the next day and the next day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the wisdom to understand about everything. To understand, for example, the Ramban, the Ramban wrote a letter to his son from Eretz Yisrael. He's not going to see his son, will not see his son again. But he writes him a letter and he tells him to read this letter regularly. Okay? It's a short letter. Okay? 30 odd lines. And he says that whenever you learn, right? When you learn Torah, learn it in such a way that you can fulfill it. In other words, that you can concretize it, that you can do it. It's not merely theory. And when you rise up from the sefer that you're learning, from the book that you're learning, techapes basher lamarta. Don't just close the book and leave. Think, search in that which you learned, asher yesh bo davar asher tuchol lekaimo, to find something that you could fulfill through it. We oftentimes are learning things that are theoretical. He says, don't just close the sefer, right? Say, oh, that was interesting, or whatever it may be. Think for a moment. Think for a minute. How could I actually embody this? How could I actually do this today? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you and me the wisdom. I, because I've also been learning with you, and you, because you've been learning with me. So we've learned something together through the oral or through the YouTube safer. So let's think of some way that we could concretize what we've learned in these few minutes.
That concludes our podcast. If you would like to dedicate or sponsor a podcast, visit our website at eretzpod.org. That's eretzpod.org. If you enjoy our content, leave us a kind rating or review on your podcast platform. It helps others to find us. And thanks for learning with us.